This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 19th of July 2020. Today's News West is the Club Focus Edition, where we offer space to amateur radio clubs to promote themselves, their achievements and their activities. As well as club news, we have the Club Focus series and reminders about the Wireless Institute of Australia's annual general meeting. And the Radio Amateur Society of Australia has a new magazine that they've launched. And of course, there's their podcast. Then we have Roy's Helpline and a story on the marketing of Andalusian brown striped pumpkins. All of this, and there's usually more, on News West. News West has been made for Western Australian amateurs since 1931 and can be heard across Australia and internationally. At our VK6.net website, you can discover how many ways you can hear News West, from podcast to broadcast. We are there to be heard. Have you ever run a club or become a member of the club and wonder where the money's coming from or where it should come from? Welcome to Club Focus, and this episode is entitled, Where's the Money Coming From? This episode first went to air in September 2014. Your club has, say, 40 members, and to operate successfully, you need access to meeting rooms, equipment, storage, etc. And of course, you need to carry insurance, or at least public liability insurance. So where does the money come from? I've always held that a club's basic operational costs, that is, the cost of existing as a club, should be borne by its members. If, for instance, your base operating costs without really doing anything apart from holding meetings was $4,000 a year, then your 40 members should be paying at least $100 per year in membership fees. Let's move along a bit. If, for instance, your members made a rash decision to do some stuff, in addition to attending a meeting and doing boring business, it's likely to cost more money. That makes sense so far, doesn't it? Depending on the activity, there's a few ways to get the money. It's pretty clear to me that if the activity is purely for the members' benefit, for instance in amateur radio clubs operating in a contest with barbecues and beers, the cost should be borne by the members participating in that activity. Or the club may then decide to look wider and to stage some public awareness activities in order to stimulate interest and hopefully get new members. There may be costs involved, and these ought to be borne by the club. If the club has no reserves to draw on, a good source of small grants is local government. Some local government grants are matching grants. The club kicks in half, the shire tops it up. Larger projects, such as enlarging the club shack, replacing furniture, building or buying a trailer, purchasing HF equipment and so on, are often outside the limits of small grants. Well, the club could fundraise, they could run raffles, or they could run a hamfest, or whatever. In fact, the club should fundraise. It's actually useful in terms of holding the club together. You know, you've all got a common purpose, or whatever. Larger grants are usually available through Lottery West, and these often expect a contribution from the organisation receiving the grant, hence the need to do some fundraising. Just remember that Lottery West, among other givers of grants, stipulate that you must not make the purchase ahead of applying for or receiving the grant. So don't get too eager by buying the gear, then applying for a grant. Now, if you are going to be applying for a grant, find someone in your club that's pretty good with the pen. Or the keyboard. Someone who can put the words together. I've seen grant applications sometimes, and the club's given the task to probably the least skilled person. Not trying to denigrate people with lesser skills, but you must choose the right people for the right task. You know, square pegs in square holes, round pegs in round holes. Don't try and ram that square peg into the round hole. Anyway, good luck with your fundraising efforts, because they can be fun as well as rewarding. I'm Bob VK6POP.
Do you remember the 7130DXNet? It was around for years, but folded earlier this year for want of someone to run it. So from the ashes rises the AusDXNet. The AusDXNet commenced on the 4th of May this year to replace the 7130DXNet. The AusDXNet operates on three nights a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and commences at 10:00 UTC, that's 6 p.m. West Australian time. The Oz DXNet generally operates on 7.178 MHz, and the net control is MAL VK5 Mike Juliet. So keep an ear out for the Oz DXNet Monday, Wednesday and Friday, 10:00 UTC. Start off at 7.178 MHz lower sideband, and if they aren't there, tune up or down the band to find them.
Next week, News West focuses on the history of amateur radio, bringing you interesting stories from the yesteryear of our hobby. With more than 100 years of amateur radio behind us, there are some fascinating stories to be heard. To achieve this, we perform an archaeological dig through old newspapers and magazines to unearth stories about amateur radio. It's always on the cards that we may have missed a story, or there might be some interesting information that we haven't yet found. And that's where you can come in. Do you know of a story that you'd like us to cover? Did your great uncle Reginald build a spark gap transmitter out of barbed wire and a light globe, perhaps? Or something to that effect? Send the story to us as an email attachment to newswest@vk6.net.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
WA Amateur Radio News is the amateur radio club that produces News West every week. As much as we can, we stick to amateur radio-related topics, and also, as much as we can, we try to maintain relevance to Western Australian amateurs. We're always on the lookout for News West contributors, whether it's someone who makes occasional contributions or others willing to have a go at recording items every week. And we'd really like to get hold of people who can write news items. Give us a yell and we can talk about it. You don't need to be a technical whiz to record stuff these days, but you can if you want to be. You can get a reasonable result with a smartphone. Audacity is free software for all platforms, and a simple headset gets quite good results. So what else does WAARN do? We do activities like contests, special activations, etc. And of course, we run events like Perth Tech. But as everyone else has had to do, we've had to put Perth Tech on a back burner for now. When we are able, we'll reschedule Perth Tech and the raffle. However, we're thinking that the way the COVID-19 thing is going, we might have to wait. New members are welcome at WA Amateur Radio News. Whether you want to become involved in organising and running Perth Tech and similar activities, perform a committee task, or join the News West team, or just as an ordinary member, show support. Give us a shout. secretary@vk6.net is the email address to use.
This is Dennis, VK6AKR, with some updates from the WA VHF group. The exhibition at Wireless Hill Museum, that is, Transmission, the History of Amateur Radio in Western Australia, featuring the contributions made by amateurs in the art of communication from 1900 to the present day, continues on its very successful way. More than 200 visitors in just a few weeks speaks well to its relevance. We and the City of Melville are very pleased. From time to time, members attend during opening hours and assist visitors with any questions they may have. A handful so far have expressed interest in looking into amateur radio, and we have advised of the various clubs throughout Western Australia and options for training. On a technical front, we were approached by the WA Repeater Group to host the Fremantle Repeater VK6RFM and can now report that it is in operation at Wireless Hill thanks to Bob VK6KW. There is mild desensing from other sources on site, and we expect that WAARG may opt for some additional cavity filters in the receive path. If this does eventuate, we're hoping to have WAARG explain the dark arts of cavity filter design, manufacture and tuning. And if that happens, we'll issue invitations to other clubs to attend, COVID-19 restrictions permitting, of course. Thanks to the team who breathed new life into one of our beacons now operating in Kalgoorlie as VK6RTU on 6 metres, 2 metres and 70 centimetres. A check through my emails shows activity on this project for over nearly 2 years now, which has included Will VK6UU, Igor VK6ZFG, Peter VK6PK, Peter VK6YSF, and Lewis VK6OI, among others. We are pleased to have provided some of the hardware and prior knowledge to get this operational. During the month, Bob VK6KW took delivery of the club's 122GHz microwave kit and components. A fine example of machining too, in the almost wristwatch scale, horn feed components. We're hoping to construct this in the not too distant future, and we'll be looking to make contact with those few others who possess the technology, perhaps setting some records along the way. Activity days of a face-to-face variety remain attractions for many of our members, and recently we've spent some time working on repairs to power supplies and a member's digital storage oscilloscope, which had a display issue. We'll be doing a spring clean of the shack and identifying attractive items for sale to the NCRG's Hamfest towards the end of the year. So start saving your hard-earned to acquire some of our bargains. In regards to meetings, we will offer a broadcast version of events in parallel to the face-to-face variety, so that the ones who are unable to be present in person can participate. We are coming up to our AGM in September, so we'll need to arrange things for voting postally as well as in person, and we're always hopeful of a healthy show of hands for committee positions from within our membership. 73 and stay safe. This is Dennis, VK6AKR, for the WA VHF Group. Thanks for listening.
News West is compiled and produced by WA Amateur Radio News from a variety of resources, and views expressed may not represent the views of WA Amateur Radio News and are offered in the open spirit. That is amateur radio. Now, you may be wondering why we poke that bit of pseudo-legalese into the program every now and again, and that's because a few years ago, I think it's about six now, a member of the News West team published an opinion piece about Morse keys in the context of Foundation licensees using them. Someone in the WIA upper echelons took great offence at that because they said that Foundation licensees weren't allowed to use those Morse keys, and they demanded a retraction. In fact, they even wrote a retraction that they expected us to read out on News West. We told them to go get modulated, and that's where we stand. What they didn't understand was that News West never was the WIA's news program. They thought they could manage and control what we did. But there you go. That's where we are. We don't hate them. We just treat them with a bit of caution.
The WIA AGM is on next week. For the Wireless Institute of Australia members that are listening, this is a reminder that the WIA Annual General Meeting is on next Saturday at 8 a.m. Western Standard Time. The meeting is online, and you'll need to pre-register to receive the link for the meeting and to have your attendance recorded. You'll also need to fill in a proxy form and send it to the WIA if you want your vote counted in the procedural motions. See the WIA website for the links and documents, and that is at wia.org.
Well, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, RASA for short, are at it again, and they sent out an email to their mailing list, which you can join if you wish, saying that we're pleased to announce a special Winter in Australia edition of our e-magazine QTC, now published on a specialised digital magazine platform. This new format is best viewed on tablets or larger monitors. By using your browser, you get the magazine look and feel, embedded videos, that's right, embedded videos, and dynamic hot links, which allow you to click through to external websites as well as our supporters' web pages. If you prefer, you can still create a PDF version. When you view the digital magazine, simply print a copy to a PDF file on your computer. However, be aware that embedded videos will not work with the PDF version. In this edition, we look into the origins of RTTY and how to get on air with the grandfather of digital modes. We follow on from our last edition with two articles on simple HF DXing antennas and looking at getting started with the website QRM Guru. We hope you find the embedded videos on these articles to be both informative and interesting. It's a whole new medium for true e-magazine delivery here in Australia. There's also a primer on low bands. We'll have more on this fascinating part of the radio spectrum in coming months. And of course, there's our normal news and updates on regulations and representation, as well as the I've Been Really Thinking column. When you browse the magazine on your computer, you'll see three symbols on the bottom right hand of the screen. Hover over each symbol to view its function. The first one allows you to share, second to print to PDF, and third to zoom to full screen. I hope you enjoy that winter edition of QTC, and your feedback, as always, is welcome. And you can find that on the RASA website, vkradioamateurs.org. And also there's a reminder here about the Radio Amateur Society of Australia's podcast, with a whole lot of news on there. And there's a new podcast each fortnight. And again, you can download it from the website or from the dedicated Podbean website. Get the details from the vkradioamateurs.org website. So there's some exciting stuff going on at the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. Have a look. There's QRM.guru to look at. There's Welcome to Amateur Radio, an e-publication for newcomers to the hobby. Plenty of reason there to go and have a look.
Club websites and Andalusian brown striped pumpkins. How's your club website going? Websites are a window into your club. Many people these days will go to the internet first to learn about something they may be interested in. Have you ever done that? You search for something like, I don't know, Andalusian brown striped pumpkin growers around your city or area. You get a few hits, and you think this looks hopeful. You click on it, and up pops a website. Great going so far. Then you start reading the information, and there's something about a field day in 2013, and we all had a lovely day, didn't we? And the next item talks about the field day coming up in 2014. Then nothing. But wait, there's more. There's an email address to the secretary, billyblogs@coldmail.com. Aha! So you click, write the email, and then it bounces. It seems Billy's email has died, or Bill, or both. So if you're wondering why no newcomers have shown any interest in your Andalusian brown striped pumpkin since 2014, it's quite possible that here lies a clue. Think back to before the internet. You were growing Andalusian brown striped pumpkins and you wanted to sell them. You put up a big sign on your fence along a busy road saying, Andalusian brown striped pumpkins for sale. Phone us on 876-54321. A couple of years later, your phone number changes, but you forgot to alter the sign. At some point you realise that you're not getting any new customers in, and your stock of Andalusian brown striped pumpkins is increasing because sales have dropped. And we all know why, don't we? So, if you do have your club website, especially if your club is flogging amateur radio activities instead of Andalusian brown striped pumpkins, it's in your best interest to keep it up to date, both in what you're doing and how to contact your club. That makes sense, doesn't it? Meanwhile, would anyone like to buy an Andalusian brown striped pumpkin? They're on special right now. And are those striped pumpkins? Yum.
Since 1931, News West has provided amateur radio news for Western Australia and beyond. This is VK6ARN.
The response to the News West invitation to clubs to contribute items to the Club Focus episode, which is this one, was at the best poor. It's to be expected that WA Amateur Radio News would put an article in, because we produce the news. We received an excellent article from Dennis at the WA VHF group, as we do every month, and I know for certain that the contributions from Dennis are the result of a collaboration between a few club members. And why do they do that? Because they take it seriously. But that was it for this month. Tell you what, folks, if you don't want space to be provided for your club to promote itself and its activities, please tell me what you do want, because the silence is deafening. If you're a club member and you're wondering why your club doesn't get a spot on News West, ask why at your next club meeting, because it ain't us pushing your club out. So, folks, you've got 4 weeks to deliver something. If your club is worth promoting, and I'm sure it is, get moving. You deliver something to me, and I'll put it in the Club Focus edition. Now, Roy's been doing helpline now since before I started wearing long pants. Well, almost. Roy's been doing helpline for 30 years. Well, 30 years and loose change, I think. Thing is, business seems to be dropping off for Roy, as people find other ways to advertise their wares and forget, or at least neglect, to remember the grand old medium of amateur radio. No, I'm not calling Roy a medium. He's more of a minor mind reader than a medium. Silly comments aside, you shouldn't be neglecting the broadcast word in favour of other media that takes less planning and commitment. to get your stuff to Roy, you need to write something down in some semblance of orderly manner, then send it to him by Thursday lunchtime. That does require you to commit to doing something by design, rather than being prompted by a brain fart, pulling out your phone and slapping something onto Facebook on your way out of Macca's on a Saturday arvo. So please do include Roy's helpline when you have something to buy, swap or sell. It adds another dimension to your efforts. Maybe I could sell my job as News West producer on helpline. I can't give it away at the moment, so selling it might be the way to go. I wonder how much someone will pay me to part with a job.
G'day again, listeners. This is Roy VK6 X-Ray Victor with this week's Helpline, the 19th of July 2020. Today we're looking for Wanted, a handheld microphone by Yaesu, model Mic Hotel-36 Alpha 6 Juliet, or a Mic Hotel-42 Alpha 6 Juliet, to suit the Yaesu Fox Tango 3000 mic. If you can help Jeff VK6 Fox Juliet Lima mic, please phone him. His phone number is 0427-175-248, 0427-175-248 for that Yaesu handheld microphone or something similar. And we're still looking for a Kenwood TS-590 Sierra in good working order for Barry, VK2 Whiskey Bravo, VK6 Whiskey Foxtrot. His phone number is 0412-127-990. If you can help me out, please do. This is Roy VK6 X-Ray Victor. If you have any items for next week's broadcast, please get in contact with the email is vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. And that's all for me for this week. 7-3 for everyone. Hope conditions are okay for you at the moment. Cheers. See you 7-3.
Well, that's your lot for this week. How did you go in the Trans-Tasman contest yesterday? How about telling us your story of how you went, and we may be able to put a story together for next week. There's been a lot of chat around the history of Wireless Hill recently. Wouldn't it be nice to see it materialise into an item or two for next week's history edition of News West? How about it, folks? Thanks to the crew this week, Roy, Jeff and Mike, and thanks to the broadcasters and callback collectors. Oh, and stay warm. It was 4.5 degrees when I was finishing off the program on Saturday morning. Meanwhile, you know what you have to do next. Stick around for callbacks and then get on air and make some noise.